Hi, everyone, and welcome to the End of the Day show. It's Thanksgiving Monday.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. It is officially 12:10 a.m., so I guess it's Tuesday, and it's the end of the day. Today's episode, we talk a lot about a big move that happened in our lives a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. We moved from the coast to the middle of Canada.
Yeah. And all of the reasons we moved and the way that we think God provided and the excitement of the whole season and the story behind it all.
Yeah, we talk a little bit about what we're doing now and what we've done previously to get us to this point.
Yeah. So if you enjoy the show, we ask that you follow and yeah, feel free to reach out or leave a comment. And otherwise, see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yes, it's really, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving with family coming to visit.
Yeah.
It
was like a combo weekend. We had birthdays and Thanksgiving and
family life.
Town family.
Was just excellent this weekend.
Yeah.
And it makes me really happy.
It was life-giving.
Yeah, super life-giving.
Yeah.
Yeah, family from out of town came to visit us in Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like every time that family visits from out of province or whatever, the conversation comes up as to why do we live here? Or if we live here now, what's next? Or
anytime we talk to anyone.
Yeah.
From that's family or friends,
mm-hmm.
especially from back in BC.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, so why are you there again?
Yeah.
Well, why did you go? When are you coming back?
So I think it's a good thing for us to backtrack a little mm-hmm. bit and just talk about where we live now and why we live here and where we came from.
Yeah, what brought us here.
What brought us here. And yeah, just to sort of catch people up to how we got here, but also talk about the story of sort of crazy things falling into place
mm-hmm.
That really we felt was an answer to prayer in a lot of ways.
100%.
Yeah.
So backtrack to when we were living in BC. What was the main event that happened that made you consider moving? Because we love BC.
Yeah.
Like, it's where a lot of our friends and family are. We love the landscape, the ocean, the mountains.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. And it's what we have mostly known.
It's very much our heart for where we want. The idea we have in our mind of where we want to be living is a place like that.
Yeah. Like, the ocean is very healing for us, I think. Like, when we're working through life stuff, we just go walk along Crescent Beach and we just... it calms us right down and we're able to, like, think clearly.
The 1% of Lana that's a hippie just came out where it's like, the ocean is healing.
So really not a hippie.
You're and really not a hippie.
I don't like being in the ocean.
You're certainly crunchy, but I don't know if you're a hippie. Yeah.
I will put my feet in the ocean, but I don't, if I can't see what's in it, I don't want to be in it. But the, like, walking along the ocean and, like, the sea breeze and the sound of the waves and just, like, looking at it and the sunset is beautiful.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's just nothing quite compares.
So I think to set the stage,
we
have to go back even a little bit further.
Okay.
So I'm going to get all my dates wrong. And forgive me if I get my dates wrong.
I'm going to correct you. It's okay.
Yeah. We were living in Princeton, British Columbia, which is a small mountain town. And we moved there 2 months before COVID.
We moved there January 2020.
Yeah. And so COVID changed the world while we lived there. And it impacted quite a bit of things. And I think the Princeton story is one to share for another time.
Another time, yeah.
But we were doing church work in Princeton, and that's why we moved there. And I grew up in a church family. Like, my dad was a pastor.
You're a PK.
Yeah, I'm a pastor's kid. Yeah, for sure. But, like, my dad was a pastor. Mm-hmm. Both my grandparents on my mom's side my grandpa was a pastor on my mom's side.
Mm-hmm.
Both my mom's grandpas were pastors.
Yeah.
My brother is a pastor.
It's just like a generational.
We met in Bible college. It's very much the family trade.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we moved there to do church work, to become pastors at a small, in a small mountain town.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, it went really well.
Yeah.
But in other ways, it ended.
It did have an expiration date.
Yeah. And it was time for us to move. And so we moved, and there was a lot, for me, there was a lot of frustration around what I thought was my family trade, what I thought was the work I was going to be doing
for
my life, my calling, ending in a very bittersweet way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were in Princeton, which was a 3-hour drive from
the coast, where our family and friends
were, the Surrey Langley area, I lost my train of thought. When we were in Princeton, it was time for us to move back.
Yeah.
And we imagined that we would just move back home.
Yeah.
In air quotes, home.
Yeah.
And in a big way, God came through for us.
Yeah, it was insane. There was a lot going on during that season. Like, there was just, felt like we were hit from all sorts of angles.
Yeah.
Of just like, oh my goodness, we need family around us, and we need to be where we feel at peace and at home. And we were expecting our fourth kid.
Yeah. And family is such a big deal to us.
It is huge.
Such a big deal. And over COVID,
the
definition of family changed.
Yeah.
Right. And what we thought was family before COVID wasn't necessarily family after
COVID.
Just the
dynamics changed and like expectations and the reality of it. Like, it's just, it brought a lot of things to light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone changed in some way, and family dynamics for everyone changed a little bit. But yeah, it made us reevaluate like what's really truly important in life.
Yeah.
And we have really, really strong connections and foundation with both sets of parents.
Yes.
Like, we're really close to your parents, and we're really close to my parents. We've been really blessed that way.
Mm-hmm.
And just being so isolated, and like, Princeton's a drive-through town. It's not, no one goes to Princeton to go to Princeton.
Unless they're going hunting or
they know someone there.
Mm-hmm.
But like, half the time people have driven through it and they had no idea that they drove through it. And it's like, did you stop at the subway? You were in Princeton. You know, like, that's how people know it. And so then going through that in COVID, and like, not being so isolated, like, you're isolated and then you're isolated in the mountain. And
Princeton is generously an hour drive from any other major
center, at least an hour.
Right?
Yeah.
There's another town, Merritt, to the north, and that's the closest, and it's an hour. And then there's Penticton.
Hour and a half.
And then there's Hope, which is about an hour, 45 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And so we just felt super isolated.
Yeah.
So all that to say, we knew it was time for us to move back. Mm-hmm. And as the person who's supposed to provide for the family, I'm looking at moving them from a small town where some things are affordable, but job prospects are few and far between, mm-hmm. to one of the most expensive real estate markets in the world.
Yeah, I say that's a fair statement.
And we have some strong convictions around family life.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll let you talk about it, because I sound misogynist sometimes when I say it.
Strong, like, in what way?
About how we want to have our family dynamic and who is at home and who's working.
Oh, yeah. So we've gone through many seasons of our family dynamic. Like, we've been through times where you were the sole income provider, where we were both earning an income and kids were being watched by someone, by a family member during the day. And then we've been through seasons where I was the sole income earner and you stayed home with the kids. So like, we've been through a whole diverse,
backgrounds.
Yeah. Like, none of this comes from, this is the way it has to be done this way. Like, we've been through multiple different types of family dynamics just within our own family. And at the end of the day, and I've done the whole girl boss thing in the, you know, trying to rise to the top and earn my place among strong women kind of thing. But at the end of the day, what we found we were missing most was connection.
Yeah.
Like, if we were both busting our butts, our kids were suffering. And that's not to say every family dynamic is that way, but for us, we were really struggling to enjoy family life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we weren't getting that sweet connection with our kids. If anything, we were getting frustrated. And like, we were young parents to begin with, but then we were young, tired, overworked, and broke, and not able to give our kids the life that we wanted to give them. And so then there was like, not resentment, but almost resentment of like, this is the way we chose to do life, and this is the life we're giving our kids. How do we do better? Like, how do we get to where we want to get? And I think when we, you know, hashed out the numbers and hashed out the hours that we had and looked at it, it just made sense for us to dial things back a little bit, send you to work full time, and I would stay home with the kids. And that was hard because that's not how I am naturally wired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I come from an entrepreneurial family. We love to work. We love getting our hands dirty and like seeing the product that we completed and how we contributed. And so for me to like kind of push that aside and be like, no, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom and I'm going to let you earn the money.
Yeah.
You know, that was a hard switch for me, but we felt it. We both felt it so strongly that this is a change that we needed to make. And so it wasn't easy. It's still not easy because there's like a little bit of a dying to self of what you know, kind of the way the world is going, right? Like, it's very almost every man for themselves. And we had to rewire our thinking and say, okay, us together for the family, not every man for themselves.
Yep.
Like, children, focus on the children. What can we do to nurture their every need as best as we can and still stay connected, the two of us, and move forward? Yep. So I stayed home.
And I think we have a strong conviction about how that's how we want to live our life.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of factors are at play. Like, we've never been at the top of our earning potential, right?
Never.
Like, we're both sort of working crappy to okay jobs.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's sort of been the standard. And so for us to both be working jobs that don't pay a tremendous amount,
mm-hmm,
meant that almost the entirety plus of one person's income,
yeah,
would go to school and daycare costs and, yeah, shuttling kids around costs. Because we do have 4 children.
We do.
And that's a lot for these days, right?
It's a lot of groceries.
It's a lot of groceries.
Which are very expensive.
It's a lot of food prep. It's a lot of things. And so certainly it is not a... You're definitely the better of the two of us because you have sort of more patience and willingness to do the harder work.
Yeah.
Right.
But I would definitely say, like, you're a pretty great stay-at-home parent. Like, when you had the 9 months where you stayed home, like, I was jealous of the fact that you even thought to take them out for picnics. I was like, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, so we complement each other well in that way where we would both thrive in either position.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that, you know, in some ways I'm more nurturing.
Yeah.
And it's more beneficial for everyone if I stay home and I try. And I'm not naturally nurturing. That's something I've had to grow through. But, you know, like, it just balances out best.
Yes.
When I'm home with the kids and I'm working through growing to be the best mom I can for them, and you're working and able to come home and be dad.
Yeah.
In whatever capacity that looks like. And I think we've gotten better at it over the years. Like, we still have a lot of growth and a lot of learning and a lot of collaborating that we have to do to get to, you know, where we want to be. Like, my hope is that our home becomes a more peaceful place as the years go on. We're in the thick of toddlers and, you know, neurodivergent kids.
Yeah.
Let's throw that out there. And so there is an element of chaos, and us learning to work through that and grow with that. You know, we have our own struggles, and learning to not like put that on the kids of like, I'm overstimulated. Be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're growing in our roles, and it's a constant it's a constant growth. Yeah. I don't know that we'll ever have arrived.
Yeah. So by the time we were moving back from Princeton to the Lower Mainland, we had sort of already had these convictions in place where...
And we were homeschooling.
And we were homeschooling.
Yeah.
And I think just putting all the cards out there, my income potential for like these crappy to medium okay jobs is higher than yours, right?
Yeah.
Like I can go work as like a trade person and earn more money generally.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. And so, it's just the decision we made to go as a family.
And that's not to say I didn't ever work. Like, I'm a hairstylist. So I would pick up weddings as I could to, like, help contribute. Yeah. But it was very much, like, a case-by-case situation.
And so we were moving back to the Lower Mainland of British Columbia. Mm-hmm. Sort of the Vancouver general area.
Yeah.
Greater Vancouver area. And we weren't going to go move in with parents. We weren't going to go rent a basement suite from parents.
We had already lived with parents for 5 years, and I think they needed a break.
Yeah.
And we needed a break. Yeah. And we had, living in Princeton was our first big, like, independent time.
Independent.
I guess it was our second.
Not independent time, but really striking out on our own.
Yeah, we go.
We certainly weren't your parents' dependents.
No.
But we definitely benefited from a family deal a little bit, right? And so
we were able to lean on them for like a lot of child care, like babysitting, when we moved out to Princeton, we didn't have that, and so it was kind of our first big separation, I guess, because there was space physical space separating us, right?
So we had already had a house lined up. Mm-hmm. I had actually started working again at my old job, which was... Those are two miracles in and of themselves. But I knew that to survive in BC with my sort of education level and with the things that I find I'm good at.
Your experiences.
Yeah, I would have to start my own business.
Yeah.
To make it long term.
Yeah.
So almost right away, I signed up for TaskRabbit and a couple of these other apps that are sort of like Uber, but for handyman jobs.
Yeah. And, like building IKEA units and Wayfair.
And so I got my old job back and I just kept a tool bag in my car. And after work, I would go and install somebody's IKEA countertop. Or after work, I would go and build somebody's gazebo or,
Which was a really cool experience because you got to work on like tiny homes and you got to really expand on your carpentry experience.
Some really cool experiences.
Yeah.
And actually, there was quite a bit of momentum for a side hustle job.
Yeah.
Right? Like I eventually was able to go off the apps.
Yeah. And you just had like personal clients.
And I just had personal clients and people who would call me.
Yeah.
But our rent was an incredible amount for a single income family.
Yeah. And for the space that we were renting.
And for the space that we were renting.
Them square footage. Yeah.
Like in BC, we got a deal.
Yeah.
In the rest of the world, it was...
Anyone we talk to outside of the Lower Mainland that would ask us, like, what do you pay for rent? We would tell them and they would be like,
shocked.
Why are you there?
Yeah.
Like, come live where we live. Like, get out of there. And we're like, but we love it here.
Yeah.
And it was just this constant back and forth with people.
And so I had a good job that offered me a lot of overtime hours. And so I was doing that. And then after the overtime hours were over, I would just go to work.
Yeah.
On my side business, trying to grow something that eventually could replace my job.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was on track to make more money than I ever had.
Yeah.
But I also grew up, and a lot of this is, I say sometimes that we live in spite of our parents or because of our parents.
Yeah.
And a lot of this was sort of, a lot of this decision was made in spite of how I grew up. Because my parents, they had 10 kids.
Yeah, which was, that's a lot.
It's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of diapers. It's a lot of milk.
Yeah.
A lot of protein.
And my mom was a stay-at-home mom with all the honor and, dirty diapers that come with being a stay-at-home
mom. Your mom's a legend.
My mom is a legend. and my dad is a pastor. Like, he does a lot of that work. But a pastoring didn't pay the bills in the Yukon. And so he was often working second and third jobs.
Yeah, just to keep food on the table.
Yeah. And so quite a narrative of my story mm-hmm. is that I don't feel like I got enough time with my dad, mm-hmm. right? And I would see other young men who were really close with their dads, mm-hmm. or, you know, you could tell they spent a ton of time together in their early years. And I was not jealous, but a little bit amiss in my heart mm-hmm. because of that. That's fair. So I didn't want that life for my kids. Mm-hmm. And we started looking at, or I started looking at sort of a projection of numbers of how long it would take for me to have a business that could not only replace my income, but provide growth potential to make it economically viable.
Yeah.
You know, that we could have enough money to live in, you know, the Surrey Langley area.
Yeah.
And it was something like 7 years of that grind. And I just couldn't do that.
And it was hard because the shifts that you had at that time.
Yeah. Were rotating.
They were rotating. So sometimes you were working the early morning shift for 2 weeks, and then you'd go to the day shift for 2 weeks, and then you'd go to the evening shift where you're working overnight, and you'd come home and sleep for a couple of hours, and then you go to your little side gigs. Mm-hmm. And like, it worked. We were able to make it work. But during that season, I was either very pregnant, or by then I think we had our youngest.
Yeah.
And so here we are with four kids and homeschooling, and I think we were even down to one vehicle at that time, and it was just hard.
It was so hard.
It was so hard because then we would have to navigate like, okay, what is our schedule with the kids' things and church and mom's groups so that I could have a life, like a social life. Like I need people to keep my sanity. And so you were very intentional about making sure that we got to what we needed to, but you were working so much. So like, luckily eventually you got to use a work truck, which then freed us up a little bit. And mm-hmm. I didn't feel so isolated and alone, and I could go see family and.
Yeah. But there was still, I was driving so many hours a day
all the time.
Like, cause I was picking up side jobs in a suburb, 45 minutes one direction, and my work was 45 minutes the other direction from my house. And then I'm dropping off work vehicles at home and picking up the car and waiting for you to get home so I could load tools.
Yeah.
It was just
chaos.
It was so chaotic.
It was so chaotic.
And so actually what ended up happening is I fell asleep while driving.
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night. Not as bad as it could have been.
It's like a farm road kind of.
Farm road. Yeah. I just hit the ditch.
But you were like really close to a pole.
I was really close to a telephone pole, and my boss is, for me, an incredibly gracious person because he could have had me over a barrel on that one. And
the truck was totaled,
and he just didn't.
It was totaled. Yeah.
It was. Yeah. And to this day, I'm incredibly grateful for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I ended up crashing a work truck, and that set off huge alarm bells for us. Not like they shouldn't have been going off already, because I wasn't going to church with the family just because I was working.
Yeah, there were people who actually thought I was a single mom with all these four kids. And like, I'd been attending that church for most of my life. But then there's like a new wave of people. Mm-hmm. And I was standing with like a family friend one Sunday. And he was, I think it was a potluck. And he was like helping me because he's like, oh, can I help you get your kids food? Like, your hands are full. You're carrying the baby. And I was like, actually, yes, please. That would be great. And like three different people came up to me. They're like, oh, so is this your husband? We finally get to meet him. And I was like, I like barely know him.
Yeah.
Like, he's connected to my parents. Like,
yeah.
I barely know his first name. He was just generous to help. And it was like, that was an eye opener for me where people didn't know my husband in the church that I had grown up in.
Yeah.
And some people thought that we had like separated or gotten divorced because,
and that was an eye-opener for me too.
Yeah,
because I'm a church guy. Like, I love
going to church. You are more faithful at church attendance than I am. I would be the one being like, oh, it's a beautiful day to like go to the park with the kids. You're like, no, we got church. I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
we can go to the park after Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we can do that later.
But yeah, that those series of circumstances really made me stop. And so I stopped working all the extra jobs, except for one that I was just trying to help some guys finish so they could sell their thing they were working on.
Yeah.
But I wasn't driving around like crazy. And outside of work. And I sort of, I didn't pay him back, but I honored my boss's generosity to me by, he got all the extra hours that I was working. And I ended up, and it was completely my choice. And honestly, it worked out really well. But I...
So you got to take on a lot of overtime and extra shifts.
And... Yeah. And I was asking all the other guys for their weekend shifts and things like that.
You were the go-to guy.
I was the go-to guy. Overtime. And it was really great, actually. And I look back at that time as... Actually, I was working less hours than I was leading up to the accident. And I wasn't trying to be an entrepreneur anymore. And so it was really... It was kind of a nice time where we started reconnecting more and I started to assimilate back into family life more because I would basically just sleep at home. I was eating every single meal on the road. Like,
it was hard because then so hard. We would try and get out of the house when you were home because depending on your shifts.
Oh gosh.
And you needed to sleep. Yeah. And so we tried to honor that. And sometimes it was weird hours.
Yeah.
And you know, our kids aren't the quietest.
Yeah.
And they miss dad and they just can't understand why dad's home and we're not seeing him and you know, being shushed, and we're just like, this is hard.
And so we recognized the need for a change. And because of our experience in Princeton, I wasn't so in love with church very much. Like, I was going through a bit of a heart issue around going to church.
And you were going through a healing process.
Yeah, which is why I think I chose to work a lot, but also financially, I just really felt a ton of pressure. Which again is its own heart issue because I should be looking to God to provide and trusting him. But that's another story for another time. So we were looking at moving. And just about everything was on the table. Happy to stay if our costs went down.
We laid it all on the table and just gave it all to God. And we're kind of like, okay, if you can provide a house that's like way cheaper and fits our family needs, then we will gladly stay. We're happy to stay. We want to stay. But if that's not the case,
there's a few other communities across Canada that we
would consider. Because family was close.
And after COVID and some of the things that I went through, I wanted to be close to people that wanted to be close. Like, how...
We craved relationship. We really wanted
to be close. And I really wanted my kids to be close to cousins.
Experience family.
Or be close to friends who are like cousins. And we had some of that in BC, but we also had opportunities for that in other places across Western Canada.
It was also a time when a lot of our friends were leaving too, though. Like, after the whole COVID thing, like, people were, they realized that they just wanted better for their family. And so they were moving to different provinces or to the States, to places where they could afford more and just have a better quality of life. So it, that kind of opened our eyes too, where it was like, oh, we could move if we have to. And
So we highlighted Kelowna, which is where my parents lived.
We would have really loved
Kelowna. Kelowna is a very beautiful...
But it's almost equal in price.
Almost equal in price.
To the lower mainland.
And actually job prospects are lower.
There's less.
So we would have had to find some kind of incredible housing arrangement for us to move there. And at this point, like, we're not saving any money. We're not doing anything. We are barely meeting bills.
We are paycheck to paycheck. Barely paycheck to paycheck. Like, sometimes there was a week with nothing and it was like, we're eating through everything in the pantry and relying on people to be like, hey, I was thinking of you. Can I drop off a meal? It's like, yes, please.
You know, not beggars at the door.
No, we weren't begging. But, but it was, that was the season we were in. Like, that's how tight it was. And so for you to be working all of those hours,
And still not
our
getting
living
ahead.
Cost to be so high, and we're not extravagant spenders. Like, we don't have nice things. We don't have nice cars, or, and if we do, it's because it's literally been gifted to us. Like, you know, someone in their generosity,
but
blessing our family. But we're not big spenders. We're not. Yeah.
Virtually every single thing is secondhand, except for the couch we're sitting on, like, or homemade.
You know? And this was the first piece of furniture we've ever bought.
Yeah.
That was like
more than $400. Like.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, so we. Yeah. We highlighted Kelowna, Calgary, a couple of places in Alberta.
Yeah, a few.
And Landmark, Manitoba.
Yeah.
Which is the geographical east-west center of Canada.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called a landmark.
Yeah.
And my sister and her husband and four kids happen to live here.
Yeah.
Just sort of through their own family situations and circumstances, they ended up moving here. And they worked at a place in town, or my brother-in-law worked at a place in town for 10 years. And he actually left that just before we moved here and got a job back in Winnipeg, which is about 25 minutes away.
Yeah.
And so we highlighted Landmark, Manitoba, and it was like, okay, well, there's family there that is great. And they're theoretically things are cheaper.
Yeah.
And I could get plugged into a good construction company or something.
We were looking at everything. Like, we were looking at farm jobs, or like mucking, like cow poop.
Yeah.
Anything to like get our family ahead.
Yeah.
And just caught up even.
Yeah. Where income after taxes was more than expenses.
Yeah.
And that is a hard balance when you have decided to be a one income family. Like, it's a hard balance. Yeah. And so we started praying. And the wonderful thing about the faith that we have is we really believe that God answers prayer.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
So we started praying about, God, where do you want us to move to? And if we're supposed to move out of BC, would you sort of open up an opportunity that we wouldn't be able to figure out on our own?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the cool thing, though, like backtracking even further, was when we first got married, and I think at this time we had our first. She was just a little baby. We had received a message from your sister and brother-in-law who live in Landmark saying, hey, we have been praying about this. Just a thought, would you ever think of moving to Landmark? And, you know, we would love to have you guys out here.
Yeah.
So
we did our due diligence at the time, and it just wasn't the right fit.
Our heart was Surrey. Our heart, like, we felt really strongly that at that season,
that's where we were supposed to be.
And I still think to this day, like, during that season, that's where we were supposed to be. But it was really cool because one night we were talking about, like, how do we get our family ahead? How do we move forward? And we were thinking, like, okay, well, there's Saskatchewan, there's, you know, all these places. And I kind of just joked because we never had a desire to move to Manitoba. And I just kind of joked around with you. I was like, well, what about Landmark? Like, maybe we should consider Landmark. And, like, it was the first time you were ever like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
We should look. And so we looked at housing prices and we're like, oh, this is a lot cheaper. Maybe we should inquire about this. And so then I went to go message, I don't know, maybe it was a brother-in-law or a sister-in-law, but the last message I had received from them on that platform that I messaged them was them inviting us.
Oh yeah.
To live here.
And like it was kind 9 years or 10 years.
And I had completely forgot. Yeah. It was like 9 years later. And I had completely forgotten that that was a whole conversation we'd had with them.
Yeah.
Cause at that time we were even considering Whitehorse.
I mean, not that we didn't respond to them.
No. We did respond to them. But the beginning of that conversation, and like we've had communication the 9 years since then, on that specific platform, in the messages, that was like one of the last conversations we had had that wasn't like responses to stories and, you know, we text and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was interesting because it was like, oh, I forgot that they had actually
asked us
about this. And, you know, this was a whole thing back then. And so I was like, oh, maybe we should consider this. Maybe this is a good fit. But we had some requirements like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny because even at the same time that they asked us to move to Winnipeg, I was interviewing for a job in Whitehorse.
Yeah.
And like.
And you would have had, you basically got the job, but we were like, no, this is not.
Yeah. Well, I got sort of
or you were like shortlisted.
Yeah, shortlisted is there probably the best word to say.
Yeah, shortlisted as a candidate. And then we were kind of like, oh, we're just starting our family. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to be close to family.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how that all played out.
Anyway. Yeah, so... Yeah, 9 years later, we're looking at making another major life change and seeing, A, like, what does God want for us and in this moment, but also what do we need to do for our family and for our kids and meet all those responsibilities at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I started talking to just about anybody who might be offering work that I think I could have done. Like, farmers and woodworking companies and framers and, you know, the whole slew of things. And sort of at the same time, Kelowna was no longer an option. Calgary was no longer an option.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, if we're moving, Landmark looks like the option if we're moving out of province.
It's either Surrey or Landmark.
Yeah.
Like, those are our two options.
And so almost, I think the way I've been able to time it is the day that we said, okay, God, if you would like us to move to Landmark, something, some crazy opportunity for a job needs to open
you up. Gotta make the connection.
Yeah And I'm pretty sure the day that I prayed that, the guy who previously had my job gave us notice.
The next day that you got a text like, hey, we just found out this guy's leaving.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider?
Yeah. So my brother, it's a youth center in a small town, which is sort of a vital resource.
Yeah.
And my brother-in-law used to be on the board because it's a charity. And so he had heard that there was an opening.
He had inside connections. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so he texted us and it's... You know, it's a faith-based ministry job and all of those things. And I was a little bit gun-shy about those after Princeton. And so I got the text when I was at...
You're at your brother's.
Another brother.
There's a lot of brothers and sisters. But we were literally just talking to them about it. Like, we were letting them know, like, hey, we're kind of considering this.
Yeah. And trying to find the right job fit. And then seeing if God is... behind it and things like that.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden your phone dinged.
Yeah.
And you were like, read this.
Yeah. And so it is a it's a really interesting job, and I was able to connect with the current board really well.
Yeah.
Just over the phone. We had a lot of long phone chats where I was just walking around the block and talking about our faith story and personal testimonies and heart for kids and youth and things like that. And
you'd be out on a walk having these like in-depth conversations, and I'd be pacing the kitchen island just like waiting for any kind of news. And then you'd come home and be like, oh yeah, it was good. I'm like, just tell me what happened.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so it was August we started having conversations.
I think so.
By that December, one of the board members actually flew you, me, and
our youngest
out to see Landmark.
Yeah.
And we saw it in the middle of winter in December.
It was like the worst storm they were having that year, I think, or one of the worst storms.
Yeah. And so coming from like very coastal, mild climate, Surrey Langley.
Where like, if it even has the threat of snow in the forecast, all the schools close down.
Like bridges are closed.
Everything is closed. Yeah. Everyone is like slamming into each other with their cars because no one has winter tires on.
Yeah. All like, those face.
That's what we were coming from.
All those viral videos of buses sliding down little hills
and
stuff.
It's a thing.
And so we came here, and I came to a couple of our drop-in nights and things like that. And we connected with my sister and brother-in-law that live here. And it seemed great.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to do a big road trip throughout southeastern Manitoba to visit a lot of other people who are doing the same work I'm doing in different locations.
But the storm shut that down.
Yeah. So there was one day I just was on like 13 Zoom calls in a day.
It was crazy.
And every single Zoom call was like, actually, this is working really well.
It was really encouraging.
It was really encouraging.
You.
Yeah.
Because you were skeptical. You're like, I don't really want to do like another ministry job.
Yeah.
I want to do something that means something. But I don't want to get caught up in like the church politics
and
that side of things.
And so this is outside of church. Like it's
It's connect the churches in town rally and support it. Mm-hmm. But it's not like directly connected to one church or another.
Yeah, I'm not dealing with, you know, people complaining about the sound on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm dealing with teenagers who are like, hey, my friend's, you know, smoking, or my brother committed suicide, or, you know, like,
someone's gonna beat me up.
There's such real heart issues happening, and teenagers seem to always be in crisis.
Yeah.
Especially at-risk teenagers. At-risk youth, and so
there's
a lot of work for me to do, and it's a lot of meaningful work, which is wonderful. But yeah, actually, it was also a better paying job than what I was able to find here otherwise.
Yeah.
So
that was kind of the job answer.
Yeah.
Where we're like, okay, so there's this option, but we need to find housing
in a small town.
Small town where there was like no market. And there's a new development in town, and there's a lot of townhomes that were like kind of a lower income situation, which would have been great, like lower costs, which would have been great, other than the fact that
we're a family of six.
There is autism
in the family,
which means that there's just some behavioral things that's like when there's an emotional overload.
Yeah.
Regulating emotions is really hard for certain people.
Yeah. So like in normal speak.
Yeah.
Like what looks like a childhood fit just turns into an hours long
rage.
Trauma filled rage.
And it's a build of emotion, and the only way to release it is to scream.
Yeah.
Not us.
And we're trying to train and teach.
And we're learning. Like, we didn't get that diagnosis so that we could understand how this child functions until we moved here. Mm-hmm. Like, we had done all the testing back in BC and didn't get the results until we were here. But we knew that this was a thing. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to be cautious about
living
disrupting
too close to other people.
Yeah, disrupting other people, because we're still learning the tools and the techniques to help, like, bring... just level out the emotions as they rise and the triggers and all of that. And so, like, the idea of living in a side-by-side was intimidating for me because as the mom, if someone else who lives close doesn't understand that this is the dynamic that's happening, I look like a horrible mom.
Yeah.
And that was a fear that was in me.
Yeah.
You know, it was that people would judge. Yeah. And
I don't think that's unfounded either.
Yeah.
Because I took a position in town where everyone sort of knows what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right?
You're like, known.
Yeah. Like,
you're
I known. Walk into the gas station and someone's like, oh, are you the youth center guy?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, I am. And
like, oh, you're the guy who works with all of the kids that are, like, having troubles.
And there was one time I met a lady and she's like, I was like, hi, I'm Joel. And she shook my hand and she's like, I know who you are already. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I hope
all good things, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so just with you having a more prominent position where you're in the public and, you know, you're in the public eye.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small town.
It's a small town. So. Yeah, and people are super gracious and super kind, and we haven't really had an issue. But in my own insecurity as a mom who had just learned that this is a thing in our home and was putting all the puzzle pieces together and, like, figuring out, like, oh my goodness, this is the answer to so many of the questions I've had over the years.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm in my learning process as to how to deal and how to guide this child through the different things that they experience. And so I was worried, and I feel like it's a very valid worry.
Yeah.
That we would be judged based on the fits that were happening. Because how many times do you see a kid throw a fit on the grocery store floor? And you're like, oh my gosh, that mom needs to take control and, like, control your kid kind of thing. But now, with everything that we've been through, I see that and I'm like, how can I help?
Yeah.
You know, like, it switched something in my brain from, like, total judgment because we've all been there. Like, before you have kids, you're like, I will never do that with my kids.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you see a kid throwing fit and now it's like, okay, what if there's some underlying issue? Like, how do I help, you know?
Yeah.
And normally I'm too scared to go and help, but
and so
anyways, we didn't want to live so close
to
people because we didn't want to be disrupting someone else's peace
with
that dynamic.
And so we, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, we were confident we were going to find housing.
Yeah.
So actually, in the trip in December.
That was basically to come and see, like, could we see ourselves living in this town?
Yeah, but there was also a meeting where it was like, are you going to take the job?
Ah, right.
Yeah. And in that meeting, it was like, yes, considering we can find the right kind of housing.
Yeah.
Right. And because the transition between the last director and myself, there was just a gap in time where they actually needed someone to fill the role quickly.
Yeah.
And so we were constantly on Facebook Marketplace and Kijiji trying to find the right house.
We were searching. My parents were searching. Yeah. We weren't in a place to buy.
Right.
Like, we did look at that as an option with help from family, but we were coming out of a season where we were needing to grow
financially.
And so we just weren't in a place to buy.
Yeah. And so we spent a long time trying to find a house. And it wasn't until
I actually put a post up on the local group.
On the local Facebook group.
And I just kind of posted a picture of our family so people could see what we looked like.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, Joel's taking over the new center. Or not taking over, but like, he's a new director.
Yeah.
We're excited to come. We're a homeschool family. We need a place to live.
Yeah.
Who's got something kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was from that post that we actually ended up getting a message from someone saying, I might know something. Like, it kind of fits, you know, the requirements you're looking for, but it's not for sure. So keep looking.
Yeah.
And we did. We kept looking for quite a while.
Yeah. And so it has turned out to be our current landlord.
Yeah.
Right? The guy we're renting this current home from. And I think the story is that the house was just empty for a couple of years.
It was like his family friends.
And it wasn't in a position to be sold because there was a lot of work.
It was in the middle of renovations. There was no flooring.
Yeah.
Like,
and the renovations had stalled out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the existing owners were just trying to sort of offload the house to a family friend. Just trying to find someone
else.
From
what we understand, yeah.
Yeah, just trying to find someone else who could buy the home and
take it off their hands.
Finish renovating it
and
sell it or whatever.
So it was this whole weird timing process because, like, we were getting to the end of our timeline, our deadline.
Yeah.
And we needed to get a house. And then so I felt kind of bad because I was like, hey, is this a thing?
Yeah.
Like, is this house going to work out? And he's trying to figure out with, like, you know, if he's approved and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, it really came down to, like...
It came down to the wire.
The wire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it all came together really well. And actually... So, I think I could talk about the details a little bit.
Sure. Go
basically,
for it.
Basically, our landlord is a real estate agent. And he's a great guy. Like...
Super solid.
Super solid guy. Yeah. And basically, from what I can understand, just really cares about Landmark and really cares about the work that I'm doing.
The youth center.
Because I think it was impactful for him growing up or whatever. And so he...
And he knows the guys on the board and...
Yeah. So he bought the house from the family, like a private sale or something.
Yeah.
And is...
Literally got the keys and then...
Got the keys and gave it to us. And then sort of... Anyway, that's another part of the story. But we are renting almost for exactly what he's paying for... covering his costs.
I don't think he bought it to make a profit.
And so he's been really generous with us and really made a way where there wasn't a way, right?
There's no other house to rent at the time.
And we really see that as God at work, right? Like, God using people that are following him to put things together that otherwise we couldn't have figured this out on our own.
We weren't even local. Like, we were living a few provinces away, and what was online was what we could see.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in a lot of places like this, it's word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hear that someone is moving, so you can kind of squeeze in and, you know, get first dibs on something. But we didn't really have that. And so it was such a God thing, I think, because the timing even worked out so well.
Yeah.
Like, the first couple days, we had to live downstairs in 2 bedrooms.
Yeah.
When we all got here.
Yeah. Well, basically, we thought that they were going to be able to close on the house a week earlier than they ended up being able to. And so I drove out with my dad. He just came with us for the drive because it was in...
to be an extra driver.
It was in early March. And so, you know, winter in Canada.
Yeah.
And...
you had one of the kids and the dog.
And the dog. And so we came early March, sort of beginning of the second week of March or something, thinking that the house was going to close, but then it didn't end up closing. But I had already agreed to a start date at work.
So you had to like haul it out here.
Yeah. And so my family was really generous and let us stay at their house.
Yeah.
And sort of, I got here on a Monday and by the Friday, we got possession of the house.
And then I arrived the next day?
No.
Or that Friday?
Yeah. Basically, we got possession of the house Friday morning or whatever. I'm not really sure.
We arrived on... I think you guys got possession on the 15th. Or he got possession on the 15th.
Yeah, but...
but then you had to put some flooring in, so you couldn't come yet. And then we arrived on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And, like, I flew in with the other three kids.
In the morning.
In the morning.
And the moving truck showed up in the afternoon.
In the afternoon. So there was, like, a couple hours there where it was like, okay, we're kind of homeless right now. Our stuff is not here.
Yeah.
And someone's working on the house.
Yeah. But it all came together sort of in the nick of time.
It was crazy. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But it was also, like, no other way to describe it than, like, a total God thing.
Yeah. From our perspective and the what we believe about God, that's really Him moving.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it was awesome.
It was like, awesome.
It was crazy. And it was ridiculous and quasi homeless, but it was great.
And it was exciting. Like, the kids had never been on a plane before, except for our youngest when he came with us. And so they were super stoked. Like, it was, we were relocating a new place,
starting
and we get to
fresh,
go on an airplane.
And all those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really what brought us here.
That's what brought us here.
When we think that God is at work in our lives and pointing us in a direction. Not that we drop everything and go, but we make our preparations quickly to uproot our lives.
I don't sit on things for very long.
Right. And like, I'm constantly just trying to settle you down a little bit. Like,
I'm like, let's go. It's a new opportunity. Let's just say yes. And you're like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Let's think this through. And I'm like, I already did.
Yeah. I don't even need all the ducks in a row. I just need the first few ducks in
you
a row.
You just need to see the clarity. And I'm like, oh, we'll figure it out as we walk through the mud.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it came together in sort of an awesome way.
Yeah.
One that's hard for us to deny that God was at work.
I think the other aspect of it too, though, is we didn't want to just move where there was family. There had to be like what we call a God reason.
Yeah.
Which is either like a ministry opportunity or a job that just totally speaks to you and as something that you love and you want to do.
Yeah.
And you struggled with the idea of working with the youth center at the beginning because it was like a ministry position. Mm-hmm. And to be completely transparent, we were burnt out. Like, we were completely burnt out with ministry stuff. And we were still on a healing process of letting ourselves heal from just the everything that we had kind of walked through, because there was a lot. There was just a lot in that season that all compounded and felt like it exploded. And so you were cautious because you didn't want to jump into ministry starting burnt out.
Yeah.
Because you're really passionate about it. Like, you love people deeply and it's just a big part of who you are. You want to see people live their best life. And how do you encourage people when you're like, tired and worn out? And so you were cautious. But when we saw the job description, it was literally everything that you've ever talked about doing.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And it is to this day a very cool opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the bloom is off the rose a little bit. Like,
we're out of the honeymoon phase.
We're out of the honeymoon phase. But
reality has hit.
Reality has hit. And, you know, it's always been hard for us to move just for economic reasons.
Yeah.
Because economic seasons change.
Yeah. And it's a wave.
You know, if we really try to look to God for our provision, then we can sort of live anywhere that He has us to live.
100%.
Right. And so even as we're sort of in a season now where the economics of this current season is not totally lining up.
Yeah.
And we're not exactly where we thought we would be.
It hasn't been perfect.
It hasn't been perfect.
Like, I think we had a little bit of, like, rose-colored glasses on, being like, ooh, grass is greener.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be, like, everything we've ever dreamed of. And, like, it's been great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also been, in a sense, one of the hardest seasons.
Yeah.
Like, it's really tested our marriage. Mm-hmm. It's tested our family dynamic. It's tested our finances more than we've ever been tested with that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so it's been hard, but it's been good.
Yes, I think...
It's like a refining season.
Yeah, very much a refining season. Mm. But also, it hasn't been impossible, right?
No. Like,
God has come through in different ways and, you know, there's been different moments that were just, like, confirming that it's, like, it's time to continue carrying on. It's not time to...
And there have been a lot of people, like, placed in our path that have just been so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think without that community, this would have been so much harder.
Hmm.
I've just...
Community is the thing for me here that it's been hard.
Well, okay. So when I say that, I mean, like, there's been a few specific individuals...
Right.
...that have brought us almost to be, like, family.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like without those, and it took us a while to find that, mm-hmm. I think. And it is hard when you're in like a prominent position,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, you're a public in the public eye in a community as like you're just seen as a ministry person and people have a hard time making like a personal relationship with you rather than just like a professional,
mm-hmm.
like you're a leader or whatever. Right. Like, I know I struggled with that for the longest time of like, oh, you're a youth pastor. You're on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, and really that's not.
That's not really how it is.
It's not really how it is. They're people.
Yeah.
And they have the same needs and stuff. And so it's hard when you live in a community where you have that kind of position.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to find the people who will connect with you on like a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, I want to know who you are for you. And I want to do life with you and not just work with you. And so when we did start to find people like that,
mm-hmm.
it was amazing because that breathed like a new life in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just encouraging for us because, you know, on top of everything, there's still family dynamics to grow through. And when you're doing that on your own and you don't have the support that you maybe used to have, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. You start to second guess everything and you start to wonder like what am I doing? Why did I leave that?
I think like looking back at where we started on this journey,
mm-hmm.
and where we are at now, the main pain point for me wasn't even economic. Mm-hmm. It was family life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's been a big part of my story for my whole life.
Yeah.
And realizing I wasn't the dad I wanted to be in Surrey.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways I get to be that now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the kids and I were totally goofing off at the end of the hallway today.
To the point where it almost ticked me off. Because I was like, I'm so tired and I'm not in the right mood. Why do you get to be the bluey dad?
Like, the bluey dad, yeah.
No, like, this is not fair.
That's hilarious.
I'm overstimulated.
Yeah. Bluey, the TV show. That's
so
funny. But
it was also super encouraging because it was like...
Every other Thanksgiving Monday before we moved here...
You were working.
I was working, right?
You weren't around. Yeah. I would go to family dinners with all the kids.
Yeah. And I'd show up for 15 minutes or whatever.
You always made an appearance. Yeah.
But yeah, I get to be the dad in a lot of ways
I dreamed of being
right now. And my job is amazingly flexible where the kids can come with me sometimes.
Yeah.
And we homeschool. And so
And like they look forward to coming with you.
Yeah. Our oldest two can like bring their math books and they sit across the table from me while I'm doing my work. And I just
sit there doing their math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody about that family dynamic and about how that's different here. And I said, it would take sort of heaven and earth for me to give that up now.
Yeah.
Cause that is, it's worth more than gold to me.
Yeah.
It's worth more than financial peace or whatever.
And when you look at like the timeline, like our oldest is turning 11.
Mm-hmm.
We only have 7 more years,
mm-hmm.
till she's graduated,
mm-hmm.
or 6 or whatever. 6 more years?
Yeah.
And so, like...
Well, maybe with homeschooling, she can graduate early.
Maybe.
Fingers crossed. Maybe,
but which means that there's even less time.
Yeah, I know.
You know, to have that quality time and really pour into them and build that connection. Like, I don't know how many people that I know that I've grown up with even, where, you know, once they graduate, they really don't have much of a relationship with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because they didn't get to see their parents a lot. You know, once they graduated, it was just kind of like, okay, peace, see ya.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going off to do my own thing. And then they don't really circle back around until...
They have kids.
They have kids. Yeah. And then they're like, I need support. So, you know, for us, it just... And there's nothing wrong with that. Like,
right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It was just we had decided a long time ago that we... really want to cherish the time that we do have with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because our dream is to one day, if and when the family grows by them, you know, getting married and having kids or whatever that looks like, we want to see a full table.
Yeah.
And like, because we love that about like the dynamic of your family. Like, it's such a huge family that when they all get together, it is like loud and, you know, whatever. And so we loved the idea of our family table being full.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also just our kids not having to get over how we parented them. You know, there's always going to be a little bit of that.
There's going to be that. there it already is.
But I don't want them to have spent all their time at school and then all their time at a job they have to get. And then we're just like ships passing in the night, living out of the same house when they're 15, 16, 17, 18. Those are still valuable years, right?
Like last year was really hard on our family because we value that special time together so much. And then the girls went to school and we only got to see them when they were completely exhausted. And like, that was a huge hit for us, I think, because that wasn't our dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was very excited to send them to school. So I was like, I can have some peace and quiet and just have the boys. But then the end of the day would come and it was like, this isn't what I want, you know? And so it would take a lot for us to give up
what we currently have.
What we currently have. Like, it's not perfect. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's still hard. But man, we really cherish the extra hours we're getting with our kids.
Yeah. And so it's really nice to be in a position where we get to spend the time with them.
Yeah.
It's really nice to not have to drive to work every day.
Yeah. Like, it's like a 4-minute walk.
I work close enough to walk and, you know, you get to play homemaker a little bit more than maybe you want. But...
I get to bake bread more than I want. Yeah. That's more accurate.
And honestly, I don't know what the future holds.
Oh, yeah. Like, it'll probably change one day. Like, this won't always be our family dynamic.
Yeah.
But right now, we get to take advantage of it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
And as much as we might love the coast, and as much as we really do miss having close grandparents.
And great-grandparents.
And great-grandparents, yeah. There is so much that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what it would take to move.
Yeah.
And so...
It would kind of be like a whole nother act of God.
It would sort of have to be a whole nother act of God. And really, like, when we believe the call of God is active in our lives for different seasons and for life callings and lots of different ways, we honor that.
Yeah.
And that means our life is not always straightforward.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes it looks like moving every 2 years, and sometimes it looks like being in Landmark for maybe longer than some family wants us to be or whatever. But we're really happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
And we, nothing is perfect.
Mm-mm.
But if we're always just chasing perfect, then...
We're just chasing the next thing.
We're just chasing our tail, really.
Yeah. Like, and so because we've moved so much... in just like within our marriage.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost like a little family joke where the kids are like, okay, so we had last Christmas here. Where are we spending next Christmas?
Right.
And that was like a little bit of a dagger to the heart of like, we got to give these kids a little bit more stability.
Right.
Or that's our desire. Our desire is to put down a little bit more roots. Mm-hmm. And we're not sure what that looks like, where or when that looks like. But we don't want to put them through too many massive moves.
Yeah. The only thing I know that it will be like is us honestly believing that we're following God's direction.
Yeah. And like our experience is that he provides in big ways.
Yeah.
Like massive ways. Yeah.
A job that probably was crazy that it was available when I was looking. And a house that probably shouldn't have been available the way that it was available.
We didn't have a vehicle. And we were gifted a vehicle to come out here. And it wasn't big enough for our family.
We did have a vehicle.
Oh.
In BC.
Yeah. Oh, right, we did. But it wouldn't have passed provincial inspection.
Yeah, it was fine enough to go around town, but it wasn't.
There, yeah. But yeah, we wouldn't have been able to get it insured here and get it here.
And pass a provincial safety inspection.
Yeah. So, like, we were gifted a vehicle because we had the need of a vehicle. But the only downside was that it wasn't big enough for our family.
Mm-hmm.
So even that holding, like, we couldn't leave town because...
Yeah.
As or a family,
all of us, yeah.
Because there are six of us and it fits five. And so, you know, we wanted to explore other churches or go shopping in Winnipeg. You didn't leave town for the first like 2-3 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, even in that, like just there was a need for a van and God provided a way in such a crazy, crazy way.
Which is maybe a story for another time.
That's a story for another time too.
But I think if I could say anything to anybody else, especially if they have faith, it's don't let any decisions be made before you are trying to follow God's will. Right?
Don't make your decisions out of fear.
Yeah. Like what's the hierarchy of making a decision?
Mm-hmm.
For us, first and foremost, it's always been to trying to follow what we think God is trying to get us to do, right?
Because in our experience, when we push our own thing,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't go very good.
It doesn't go very far.
But when we follow the direction we feel God is leading us, it's not always sure. Like, things don't always look like the ducks are in the row, but he, like, reveals the ducks along the way. And it's just, you know, it's been a smoother, more fruitful experience when we follow the way we feel like he's leading us.
Yeah. Which is actually a more sure way of moving.
Oh, 100%.
Because if you think God is who he says he is.
Yeah.
And you are choosing to follow him and you believe the words that he said are true and that he'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Then following God is the most sure thing you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're impatient like me. Unless. Then you're like, God, your timing isn't lining up with mine. Let's go.
Or you're. But
finding out what's important to you and really sticking to what's important to you.
And that's sort of how we have always made decisions is through like this hierarchy of decision making, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is it what we think God is doing? Mm-hmm. That's been really the source of all life in our marriage.
Yeah.
And then does it fit within our family values and convictions?
Yeah.
And then does it fit within what we hope to see in our extended family and friends?
Yeah.
And then does it fit in... You know, is the house right? Is the all the things right?
That said, we've always kind of gone against the grain a little bit because we make our decisions that way and it almost never makes sense to the people around us.
Right.
Like it does to some degree where people are supportive and they're like, if you feel like this is what God's, you know, leading you to, then go for it. But at the same time, they're like, but are you sure? Like, are you sure you want to do this? But it's always been a season of growth. And, you know, when we follow the direction that he is leading us, we've always grown so much. And it's worth it every time. Like the seasons we came out of, we never want to relive that again. But I'm so glad that we went through some of those seasons because we grew so much and there was value in it.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Good.
Yeah, that is. So that's why we're here.
That's why we're here. Yeah.
There's no easy way to answer that.
Yeah.
It's long-winded because it's
a long, complicated story.
Yeah.
But as far as we can understand, it's because of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we love his plan. Whatever his plan is, we love it. Does that mean we don't love the coast? We love the coast.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But we also love the idea of moving to Scotland or.
Oh, yeah. 100%. You know,
I love the idea.
Send me to Europe.
I love the idea of like a beachfront house in Costa Rica. But.
Yeah.
You know, is that a true desire of my heart?
Yeah.
Or
just kind of materialistic.
Or just a materialistic
thing.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. So this is the season we're in right now. This is where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're doing. We're working with the youth at Landmark, or youth of Landmark.
Yeah.
And just, yeah. We started doing this because we wanted to share our heart with people.
Yeah.
And the more we talk in just our conversations at nighttime, the more I realized at the end of the day, which is why we called it at the end of the day, or at the end of the day, I don't even know what we called it. but like I get so much value out of just us bouncing off of each other and like relaying our story.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so much value out of other people doing that to us too, like telling us their story and gleaning wisdom from them. And I don't know that we necessarily have any wisdom to give. But we have an interesting, unique story that is unique to us. And if we can just share that with people,
yep.
And hope that in some way, you know, we can connect with them and make people feel seen or heard. And I think that's kind of our heart behind why we're doing this. And yeah.
Yep, absolutely. I could not say it any better.
With all the ums. That I added in there for flavor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, this, we wouldn't be able to do this, what we're doing right now, if we were still living the same life we were living in Surrey, because there wouldn't have been time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just kind of cool how it all lines up. And I'm kind of excited to see what happens, just because we don't know the full extent of why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing. But.
Yeah.
That's kind of the exciting part of it.
It's good. That's the show.
That's the show.